Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday morning, everyone. This is your host, Nicole Blue Sky, and you are listening to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Well, it's just a lovely day here in Boston. All of the clouds are nowhere to be found, completely vacated the sky. It's just blue as far as the eye can see. There are birds everywhere. I don't know if you'll be able to hear them, probably. Usually you can when I do my show near the window. And I'm glad to be here. It's been kind of a crazy week. I think it's been crazy for a lot of people. It just seems like the times, they are changing for a lot of people out there. And people are looking for guidance. They're looking for answers and ways that they can find peace that, you know, just in the middle of all the chaos that goes on. And that's everything from job to kids to family to the things that we just have to manage in our lives. It's just the way it goes. It's the nature of the beast. We came here to be human, and then as soon as we got here, it was like, oh my God, why did I come here? I don't know. So I figured today we'd talk a little bit about opening up to spirits, and I do have the lines open, so if anyone wants to call in and chat, we can definitely do that today. I will be taking calls just when they come in, I guess. At the moment, it looks like the lines are pretty clear. People must be sleeping in, trying to take advantage of the quietness of the beautiful Sunday morning here. So, so let's talk a little bit about that. And one of the things that I want to talk about are the way that signs come to you in terms of the repetition. One of the things that I learned early on is that when spirit is trying to reach you, it does not give up. It does not. It will keep continually flying up in your face until you actually get the message. So one of the messages that I talk about a lot are getting them from birds. I get a lot of bird messages, and I also get a lot of animal messages. So this past week, I was sure, as most of you are when you get a message, you're like, did I really see that? Constantly questioning. I'm the worst skeptic there is. I always question myself. I question everything just to make sure. You know, if a light flickers, I'm looking for the electrical problem right away. I don't automatically go, oh, it's a spirit. So you're in good hands with me. I'm not going to lead you, you know, steer you wrong. I had this whole instance happen where I was communicating with my guides, and they said something to me, which I don't want to tell everybody what they tell me because sometimes it's personal, but it had something to do with prophecy, and I thought, wow, did I really hear that? Okay. That day, I went out to this little New Age shop, and I was like, oh, it's not open yet, so I went to a gift shop down the street first because I wanted to just, you know, give myself some time to go in before it, you know, do something before it opened. And I was walking around in there, and it was just one of those places where a lot of artists put their stuff. Everyone has their own little shelf, different kinds of figurines and jewelry and just all these crazy crafts that are just out of this world. It was a great shop. It's actually in Andover. It's the Andover Gift Shop on Main Street. And as I walked by, something just completely caught my eye. And it was this little carved figurine of a raven. And I thought, you know, I'm really drawn to that, and I want it. But let me wait, because I'm about to go in this other store, and I was looking forward to going there, and I know I'm going to drop some money, so why don't I just, I'll let it go. So I go to the other store, it's finally open, and we're sitting there, and me and the woman are talking about different things, and I turn to leave after I bought a couple of things, and I see this carving. It's the exact same one I just saw in the shop down the street, and it's the raven. And I thought, oh, no, that has to be a sign. There's no way. I've never been in two stores and seen the same thing like that. Not that kind of an item, you know. So she opens up the book, She had like one of these decks that had a book in it, and she said, let's look it up and see what it means. It'll be fun. And she opened it up, and sure enough, exactly what my spirit guides had told me was in this reading for what a raven meant. And I nearly lost it. And, you know, I was really excited and jazzed up about it. But, you know, life gets in the way, and I am a spiritual person on a daily basis. I don't put it up on a shelf and take it down once a week. I'm not one of those people. Every day I'm lighting candles. Every day I talk to my ancestors. Every day I invite the protection and love of spirit to come into my life. So when things get a little crazy and it's harder for me to get to that part of my life because it's just, you know, too much is flying up in my face, that's when the doubt starts to happen. Like, oh, maybe that wasn't real. Maybe, you know, it was a fluke, you know. It's just, it's a normal part of being human to have those doubts, you know, psychic or not, whatever you are, it's you just have it. And I went to work this past week, and I see this man walk up to the window to buy a ticket, and he's wearing a hat that has a huge raven on it, and it says, Raven Lunatic. And I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. And this is like an older gentleman. I don't know where he got this hat. Never seen anything like it. I thought that was pretty cool. And if that wasn't enough to push me over the edge, I actually saw a live, breathing, magnificent raven like the next day or the day before that, actually. I had gone out walking alongside the building where I work. And it's not a place where there's a lot of birds. I mean, you get the birds that make nests in the little under parts of like a building and stuff like that. But those are usually sparrows, and they're pretty common. I walked around the corner of the building, and there, standing in front of me, was a raven. I looked at it in total disbelief. I watched it fly away, and then I went inside, and I Googled images because I thought, no, maybe it was a crow, you know. Sometimes there's a lot of crows in this area. So I looked it up, and no, it was absolutely a raven. It was unbelievable. It was enormous, and it was just right there. So, yeah, spirit doesn't give up on you. And especially if you are, I want to say mentally vocalizing, because you are, you're projecting your thoughts all the time. When you mentally vocalize something, a question, anything, it goes out to the universe, and the universe provides you with an answer. That was my answer. I always get an answer. I used to doubt that. I used to think, you know, in the beginning when I was first opening up and not trusting anything, you know, I just wanted that, and that's why it was there. But after things like this, where they happen in close succession and they're just undeniable, I just can't think that way anymore, or at least I try not to. The healthy skepticism, though, I think is an asset, because I don't ever want to be a person that just automatically always assumes it's one thing or another. I think that's not fair. The universe is multifaceted. Why can't something be physical and something else be spiritual, but also have it, you know, join hands at some point and be, you know, similar or the same, you know, two different ways that spirit talks to us in our minds, in our hearts, through our feelings, through physical signs and symbols. I mean, everything is affected by spirit. Everything is spirit. So, yeah. And people will say, you know, well, I don't see animals. And it's like, well, that may just not be your avenue. Maybe that's not what speaks to you. The thing is, if your guides know you. They knew you before you came here. And they're going to speak to you in ways that you will notice. If you're a sports nut, they will try to find ways to use that to get your attention, because it will get your attention. I happen to be a lover of animals. And that's why the things that come to me come the way that they do. And I was also, as I said, like in past shows, I'm also kind of like a word lover. You know, I was reading from a young age. I was the firstborn, so my parents put a lot of work into me. I don't know what happened after that. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm now the only one in my family that has tons of books. And when I do readings for people, I literally see words in my mind. Sometimes I hear things. Sometimes I smell things. I mean, it comes in all different ways. But a lot of that has to do with what's coming through and how that other being is able to communicate most effectively as well. So I almost have to be like a person that speaks multiple languages in order to get everyone in spirit to be able to get me the right message as I can understand it, so that I can pass it on. It's really interesting. And the thing, too, that I find fascinating is I have done readings for people where the entity that they were speaking with spoke a different language, and that didn't really hinder the process at all. I would hear the language being spoken, and that's how I'd be able to tell them this person only spoke Spanish. And when they'd acknowledge it, and yet I was still able to get full concepts and feelings and instances, you know, that they wanted me to relay without any trouble. You know, emotions are a universal language. When someone passes and there's a feeling that they were unable to say goodbye, I get that feeling. I know that feeling. You know, it's like you're like a database, and they pull on what they need to get the right message to you. So you probably heard John Edwards say things like this before, too. When he gives readings, I've noticed he'll ask the person, you know, did this person pass from lung cancer? Or I can't remember if that's what his mother passed from or not, but I think it was something like that. And when the person says no, he says, absolutely not. They're showing me the instance when my mother passed, and that's what she had. I know that's what this is. They speak to you in your language. You know, it's amazing. I know what that feels like to not be able to say goodbye to someone. I've had that experience. It just sits right on my chest, and I know immediately this person wants you to know that they knew you were saying goodbye to them in your own way the last time you saw them, and they did the same. I mean, it's the stuff that's really important is the stuff that I tend to get. All people that receive messages receive them differently. And it's as varied as, you know, the freckles on your face and not on mine. So, like, for example, actually, this is a pretty good example. Yesterday, I went to Salem, which I'm, like, always in Salem. I absolutely love it there. I love the people, and I have a lot of friends there. So I went there with one of my friends, actually. She wanted to kind of get a reading for her birthday. I thought, okay, let's go see, you know, who's around and what we can do. And we met this really fabulous lady who calls herself Onyx. And she specializes in all of these sort of, not outdated, but they're more like they're older methods of doing things that nobody does anymore. So, like, she does tea reading, like tea leaf reading. And I thought, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Like, nobody does this stuff anymore. Actually, I should grab her card. She's got a bunch of different things. If you guys will give me a second, I don't know if I can reach it with this. Hold on. Yes. Okay, success. She does a bunch of different things that nobody does, and I thought, this is so great because it's so unique. And let's see, she does, obviously, tarot cards. She can use a crystal ball. She does runes. That's not something you see really frequently. And palm readings, which is like another one of those, you don't really see very much of that anymore. We've kind of gotten into this almost like modern spirituality where things have to be a certain way, you know. If you're not a John Edward or a Lisa Williams and, you know, you're living in the past or something like that, absolutely not. All of these things have their place. And if that's your strength, I say go with it. So she gave my friend a reading with the tea leaves, and it was awesome. I mean, I got a chance to watch it. So I just basically sat there, and I was just smiling the whole time because I just couldn't believe how amazing it was to just see someone who actually knew how to do this. And this was sort of passed down to her from family members, you know. And that's the best way to learn, you know. You can go out and buy some of these New Age books out there, and you're learning things, but it's not quite the same as having somebody that, you know, has trained you in person, or someone in your family that you've watched do this and you've been fascinated by, and they've passed on that knowledge to you. So I appreciate her and where she's coming from, and the different processes that she has to go through, you know, a person's aura, their past lives, what they've left behind, what they're heading towards. It was just amazing. It was great to watch. And so if you're in the Salem area, you want to ask for her at Omen. That's a shop in Salem. It's on Essex Street, O-M-E-N. And she is not always there, but if you call and ask for her, they will actually make an appointment, and she'll come in and do the reading. So, you know, that's definitely something that I don't know how to do. But does that mean I'm not a good psychic and she's a good psychic? Of course not. My method is different. Or, you know, the messages that I get, I don't, and it could just be, it's who I am. It's not really anything else. What's most important always comes through for me and my clients. I may not get a lot of names and dates, but to be honest with you, I don't ask for that information very often. Names and dates, that's sort of like the evidential mediumship where people are wanting to prove this is real, this is this person or that person. I kind of steer away from that, and it's not because, you know, I find something wrong with it. It's more that I am such a feeling person that when someone comes to me, the first thing that comes through is the feeling, and I get the emotional messages. I get the, did you do this on Thanksgiving? Yes. You were by yourself? Yes. No, you weren't. This loved one of yours was there, and that's why he's telling me he saw this. He wants you to know he was there. So it's like, you know, it's person to person. When you get a reading or give a reading even, it's going to be different. I've had people that have been very concerned about how someone passed, whether or not they passed a specific way. There was a mystery surrounding their death. Sometimes the spirit's ready to answer and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they don't really want their loved ones to know because they've only transitioned recently, and if it was something that was, you know, I want to say maybe like a suicide or something like that, if they haven't processed all of their own information because they have to have that period of adjustment themselves, they may not want to come through and say anything about it to their loved ones because they don't want to upset them, or, you know, there's a feeling of embarrassment around it for them that they've not processed yet, that they've just crossed over. So there's a lot of things that are involved in the messages. It's really not as cut and dry as I sat down with this person, they told me, you know, five different things about myself that were completely correct, and therefore they're a good medium or a good psychic. It depends on what you're looking for, and it depends on the person that you're connecting with. Just like you don't get along with everyone you might meet on the street, you might not connect with every psychic or medium that you try to have a reading with. And I've had several, I mean, from many different people. And even with massage, you know, I was a massage therapist for 4 years. I did the whole, you know, go to different, I just experimented. I wanted to know what different people did, how they worked. I'm very curious about that kind of thing. So as a medium, I've done the same thing. I want to have a reading from 5 or 10 different people and see how their process works, see how their information comes to them. It's just so interesting to me. It's not really about right or wrong. It's about just this rainbow of how we're all open and receptive in a special way. And once we get to know our own special way, all of a sudden everything just starts working. It's amazing. So I'm looking in the chat room. Oh, finally, we got some people coming in. Yay. If you guys have any questions or you want to call in or anything, let me know. Susie is in the room right now. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio. I believe she specializes in the angelic realm. So, Susie, if you want to call in, just send me a private message and give me, like, your last 4 digits of your number, and maybe we can have a little conversation between the two of us for the show. That would be kind of interesting. Don't you think? I think it would. I don't do a lot of work with angels and specific, you know, kind of processes, so that would be interesting for me, too. And I know you have a show actually coming up. Maybe you can plug your show, because I'm good like that. I let everybody do whatever they need to. If they want to plug their show, as long as they ask for permission, by the way, I don't have a problem with that. Last week I had someone that plugged some kind of website in that chat room. It kind of made me mad because they didn't ask. And I don't, you know, this is sort of like, if I know who you are and what you're about, that's one thing. If you just come into my chat room and start posting links, I'm going to throw you out. So I love you guys, but just be respectful of my forum, please. Thank you. Oh, Susie, your show was at 9. Oh, okay. I was puttering around, so I wasn't around. I missed it. Maybe you can call in anyway. Give me a call. Send me a private message. Tell me what your digits are. We'll patch you through. So let's see. I am picking up a deck of cards for some reason right now, so I'm going to just start shuffling these. And let me just see what we got going on. I'm going to kind of pull one card and see if I get anything. That process is always different, too. I have no clue what's going on when it comes to connecting with certain people. Like, all of a sudden, I'll want to pull a card. And other times, I just space out, and I'll come back from, you know, wherever my visionary state took me, and I'll just be able to tell you something. So, well, let me just pull a card real quick. I have a feeling there's going to be someone with this. Oh, can you do that thing where you raise your hand anymore? No, you can't. On the Blog Talk Radio, there used to be a feature where you could press like 1 and raise your hand if you had a question, but I don't think that's there anymore. Yeah, I don't see it. Okay. So let me just pull a card real quick. Okay. Good times. So I am pulling the Shadow card. Let's see. Shadow card is about duality. And it's about darkness and light. There is an image on this card. By the way, this is the John Holland Psychic Tarot deck. And so if there's anyone, actually, if you're in the chat room, maybe you can send me a message or type it into the chat room. Someone that's having a struggle with, between darkness and light, if you're trying to work on your psychic ability and you're having issues where you feel like you're maybe attracting the wrong kind of spirits or you're not sure your protection is working, this would indicate to me that there's somebody who has a question about that. So that would make a great discussion point. If anyone out there is having this issue, please pop into the chat room and let me know. And I am going to patch in Miss Susie Hendricks, and we're going to have a little conversation. It's going to be very enlightening, I think. So let me just pick up that line. Susie, can you hear me yet? Maybe not. Oh, there we go. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I thought that I would give you a few minutes on the air here. Sorry, there's a siren going by.
That's okay. My son was texting me from Korea during my show, and I actually had to tell my listeners, okay, hang on a second. So I had to go out and say, Gary, pick up your phone. Zach's calling.
I hope I'm, because we have a really good-looking crew of firefighters that are around the corner from where I live. And they drive by, you know, kind of nice.
Yeah.
So you had your show this morning.
I did. My show's on at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah. And I do energy work and readings from my books. And, I started last week making the show a little more interactive and having, because what I do is I randomly open my books. I've written 4, but 3 of them are part of a trilogy called Daily Guidance from Spirit. And they each have like a passage on each page. So I'll just randomly open the books. Well, starting last week, I asked people to, pick a number and making it more interactive. So that was fun. And I had good participation this morning in that. So, yeah, that was good.
Oh, what kind of healing do you do?
Well, the best way that I can explain it is I do energy work. Actually, I'm a transformational healer. So I work with body, mind, spirit. I do energy work, but I also there's a lot of coaching that goes on during the sessions. Because it's like all brought in together.
So it's almost like a shamanic type of a thing.
Sure. Okay. I don't know. I've never had any shamanic healing, and I'm unfamiliar with it. So, yeah, but it's in transformational healing, I look at it from the point of view of, as energy workers, we can, put out that energy and we can assist people in healing themselves through their own energy, which is the process that I do. And, but if you're not helping with the mind, then they'll go right back to the same thought process, which manifested into the physical, whatever disease, disorder, or dysfunction is going on.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's I've been watching this program on my Netflix. It's called This Emotional Life. I don't know if anyone's out there seen it or if you've seen it, but
I haven't.
Oh, it's really good. There's only three episodes to it. It was like a PBS thing. But they actually, in episode three, covered Louise Hay, like Marianne Williamson, some of these people that are on the Hay House label. And I know a lot of them deal with, like, basically cognitive therapy. It's, you know, changing your thoughts to change your life. And as much as I love all of that, I honestly think it's only a part of the puzzle, and it's not the whole thing. And I think it's too narrow to think you can only change one thing and have everything just transform. We're a multifaceted people. We're not one-dimensional.
Right. Right. And that's why I think that, you know, doing transformational healing brings that all together.
Wow. So is this something that you learned somewhere, or is it something that you kind of just had come to you?
Well, you know, it's funny. It started out, I had taken Reiki classes, and while, you know, I had become a Reiki master, I really don't use anything from Reiki in that, you know, I don't use any symbols or, you know, anything like that anymore. I really developed my own modality, and it's called Spirit Flow Energy. So, and it's about the whole mind-body-spirit connection. It's about having people learn about their energies and how to sense their own energies and thus heal themselves. But like I say, if that's all you're giving them and you're not helping them with the thought processes that are going along with how they got to where they are, then they're going to go back to where they were.
Yep, I hear that one loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to paste your link in the show, like in the chat room for your show?
Oh, sure, I could do that.
That would be awesome.
And, you know, I wanted to kind of, you had said something about, you know, working with angels. So, yeah, I thought we could talk about that.
Yeah, let's do that, because some people ask me about angels, and I'm not an expert in that realm, so I thought, you know, hey, this is a good opportunity. I didn't really have anything planned for today. Just on the fly, you happen to be here, so.
Great. Well, let's start out with when I say, you know, I'm not an angelologist in that, you know, I don't know all the names of the, you know, all the angels and what each of them, how each of them perform or anything like that. The best way that I can describe what I do is, well, twofold. One, this took a while for me to really embrace this, but I am an angel and I work with the angelic realm. And so that's the easiest way to put it. And when I say that I'm an angel, that doesn't mean that I'm fluttering around the world. That it means that is my energy. That is what I resonate with. And not only in my mind do I resonate with that, but that vibration resonates through my body. Mm-hmm. And so it comes across in how it comes across in just about everything that I do through my writings. I can tell when I'm doing some of my writings, and I would say that some master teachers are coming through. I can sense the energy a little bit different that way. It's kind of funny when you come out of the closet and tell somebody, well, you know what? I'm not an angelologist. I don't know all about all these angels. It's kind of funny is that, you know, we all incarnate to do certain things and have certain experiences. And, you know, I used to have these things in my mind that, you know, obviously other people had said, like, oh, people can't be angels. And, you know, then I would be like, oh, well, maybe this isn't real then. You know,
yep,
maybe
I
this is
that.
All some head game that, you know, I've been playing or that somebody else was playing with me. Because I have to tell you, the first time that somebody told me that, I was just sure that he was drinking or smoking something. Because I was at this little gathering at a place called Soul Intentions back up in Toledo, Ohio, when I lived up there. And this gentleman, he came up to me and he said, well, I just wanted you to know that you're an angel. And I'm like, yeah, okay. you know.
Well, I mean, if anyone out there has seen your picture, I mean, you really do have an angelic look about you. You have these big, beautiful eyes. You glow in every picture I've seen of you.
Oh, thank
you. Know?
You.
Well, you do. You know, I right away, without even seeing anything, I knew that you had a high vibration just from looking at you.
Right. And, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, I've lived this perfect angelic life either, I have to tell
right.
you. You know, I mean, definitely things changed after what I say, you know, I began my awakening to my awareness. That, you know, things did really change for me after that. But, you know, I mean, by no means, let's get that really straight. By no means before my awakening was I leading anywhere near an angelic life. You know, I mean, exactly. And so that brings me back to the point of, you know, we came to have experiences, and, you know, there are angels that are among us all, and some of them are seen and some of them aren't. Some of them come out and talk about it like I do. Others don't. And mm-hmm. each because we're having our own different experiences. And even angels, because the best way I can explain it is that this is where we get any firsthand knowledge of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so even for I think actually everybody has an angelic vibration within them, because I think that most people have had the experience of angel somewhere, mm-hmm. sometime. It's a part of us, because we're all a part of the whole. So we can all nail that experience somewhere in our own personal vibration.
Well, yeah, I mean, the spiritual realm is really difficult to kind of define, because it's not like looking at a red truck. We all have the same like equipment in our eyes to see the same color, and we know it's a truck. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's,
right.
It uses different parts of your brain that don't identify things exactly the same way. So, like I was saying earlier, I've gone to different readers, and they've kind of all said the same thing, but in a completely different way, from a different viewpoint, and sometimes from a different angle. But they all get the same thing. So it's like, yeah, we're all plugging into the same thing, but our individuality comes into play with that. Like your experiences, I'm sure, are used when you're doing work with someone, because you have to be able to relate to them. And if you can't, it's almost like the human element gets lost.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing is bringing that all into balance, knowing what I am here, knowing what I tap into, knowing about a lot of things, but then understanding them.
Right.
Because we can all have a lot of knowledge. And that's great. Keep seeking knowledge if that's where you feel your path is going. There's nothing wrong with that. It, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, well, I know this, and so I'm fine, and I can just, you know, go every day. And it's like, well, really, are you experiencing life then? Because life has emotional ups and downs. And sure, there's balance and there's a steadiness to it that I've never experienced before, that I do experience now.
Right.
You know, things that probably would have rocked my world hard, you know, in another part of my life, now I can grow differently from it. I do analyze, you know, well, what is this experience showing me?
Right.
You know, why, you know, it's not so much, God, why did this happen to me? It's more, you know, what purpose did this serve? What did it show me? And when
right.
you question it that way, you really come up with some great answers.
Of course you do, because you're getting a different viewpoint, where that narrow-mindedness that you get when you become a victim of your emotions is, I think, one of the most hellish places to be, because it's like you're stuck and you can't see anything except for what you're dealing with, like, in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And helping people with their emotions is extremely important.
Oh, yes. Honoring your emotions is, you know,
yeah.
And it's so funny. I have two very close friends that are going through some physical issues right now. And it kind of rocked me in that, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, what kind of friend am I? What kind of energy, what kind of healer am I if I'm not helping my friends?
Mm.
And, you know, I had even said it to the one lady that, you know, they did an MRI and they saw a tumor and she had to go back for a second MRI. And while we were, you know, she was doing energy work, I was doing energy work, and I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, we do energy work regularly, both her and I with each other. So
mm-hmm.
I was just like, you know, it kind of rocked me. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. And so I even told her, you know, what kind of healer am I? And she was really funny in that, you know, she said, you know, I've experienced your work. You do beautiful work. She said, this is about me. This isn't about you. And I said, I know that,
oh.
But I should be able to help you. Well, I do have to say, and you know, I'm not the one that's going to step up and take credit for it because she has done her own self-healing is when she went back and had the second MRI. Guess what?
It was gone.
It was.
That's
it
amazing.
Was. But I really needed to hear that, you know, and when I say, and you'd have to understand our relationship too, the two of us are just hilarious together, but you know, when she's like, this isn't about you, this is about me. And I said, no, I understand that. And when her and I talked and laughed about it, it's like, she, even though I had given her some, you know, some coaching on where I thought the spiritual issue was coming for and how this manifested and blah, blah, blah. You know, we talked about that and we got to that, you know, this is where this is coming from. And so I think it was just about her healing that herself because
mm-hmm.
there was a spiritual reason for that, but she needed to experience that. She needed to go through that. One big reason is that as healers, you know, we're not invincible from getting
right.
things, you know,
mm-hmm.
even with what we would say is the best of protection or shining our light, you know, things happen. And then once again, what purpose does this serve? Well,
right.
it serves to show me that, you know what, this works. Energy healing works.
It does work. I had
mm-hmm.
a problem, this is so weird, and I wish that I had been better about documenting it, but I had a problem that I had to have surgery on. There were some cells in my body that were, like, looking like they were going to become cancerous, and the doctor was very concerned, and, you know, it was one of those, you know, red alert situations. I was freaking out because the doctor was freaking out. One of my friends, actually the one that taught me Reiki, did Reiki on me, but see, we really only did it once. In the time between that and actually having the surgery. And what's funny is when the surgeon was done, he said, you know, they weren't the whatever kind of cells we thought they were. They're actually in the moderate range. And I thought, oh my God, had I just given it a little bit more time and energy to the healing process and not to the panic process, what more could I have done? Maybe this could have just been complete. They would have just said, oh, you know what? Let's just send her home. I don't know. But, you know, your thought processes take over.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just, you know, we're conditioned to do that. And, I mean, it does work. It does work. And, I mean, the documentation process for these kinds of things I don't think is great. And that's why, you know, there's so much proof that we always have to have the burden of providing for people. But it does work. But you have to believe in it a little bit, too. Your beliefs project more than your thoughts do. Your beliefs are more rooted in your emotions.
Right.
I mean, in any other situation, if you were talking to another person that wasn't a spiritual person and you said to them, and they said to you, it's not about you, it's about me, there would have been like this big defensive reaction. Why are you talking to me like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You totally got it. You guys are on the same wavelength. You totally got it. That the energy flow between the two of you is just open and
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, because, you know, when, and, but it's funny, her and I are so much in sync that, you know, I can read her something that wouldn't make sense to anybody else, but because I know how her thought processes work and she knows how mine works, that it just sinks right in. And it's like, yeah, it just, even these simple little things, and it's like, wow, yeah, you see how that related to that? And it's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah,
it's
it is pretty cool. But a lot of my work focuses, and I don't know if, and I'm sure that, you know, you've seen this, that my work, a lot of it focuses on working with the military. You know, I have, mm-hmm. I have a fairly large military family in that, you know, I have a son-in-law and daughter that are in the Army, and they're currently in Germany, but they're getting ready to PCS to Colorado. I have another son-in-law and daughter. Now, the oldest daughter, she was not in the Army, but her husband is. But the second daughter, she was actually in the Air Force, and her she's already done her time and gotten out. But and her husband is also in the Air Force, so they are career. And then our youngest son is in the Army, and he's the one that's in Korea now. So, you know, it's very dear to my heart. And here's the funny part. You know, this was another thing that was rocking my world was, you know, I was putting my work in a box in, you know, I'm really wanting to work with the military. And, you know, then I started getting so many messages as, you know, it's so much bigger than just that. It's not just focusing on the military. I mean,
right,
that happens, and that's my pro bono work anyhow. But, you know, this is for everybody. And, you know, I started getting that one-track mind of, you know, just wanting it to go in this one direction. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
whoa, wait a minute, this is multi-directional. And
yep.
So I had to step back from that and say, and, you know, once again, you know, look at it and say, wow, yeah, who was I to think so small? I think I put something on my Facebook about that at the beginning of last week. Who was I to think so small? You know,
mm-hmm.
not that the military work isn't huge, but, you know, this is for everyone. Why was I going to compartmentalize it?
That's just the ego. It's just what it wants to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we all have it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just you need to manage it, you know, and, like, you figured it out pretty quick. Wait a second, where is this coming from? You know, that's where awareness comes in. Like, you have to be really aware to be able to do this kind of work.
Yes. Yes,
get caught
you
off
do.
Guard otherwise.
You do. And, you know, the card that you pulled earlier, too, I was going to address that a little bit. In,
oh,
you
oh.
know, the, like, I know the work that I do, and I know where I'm at with it, but so many more things are even opening up for me as far as my abilities, you know, and I want to say aside from, but together with the energy work, because I do get messages, you know, with the energy work also,
yep.
you know, especially when I'm doing coaching. But there is a lot more coming in for me that I can really feel. And there was a big fear of that, you know, and I have to say that fear stemmed from, I can present this very analytically to the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wanting to keep that part of it once again in a box. And then it's like, wait a minute, there is this whole other aspect of me though. You know, everything from having prophetic dreams to, you know, all the clairs that I have and that I work with. And so,
right.
yeah, you know, that. So, yeah, that kind of tied in with that when you had pulled that card. So if you want to expand on that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? That's a question I get a lot from people is the whole, you know, we're dualistic kind of creatures. We're divine. We're human. And when we explore the spiritual realm, there are going to be things that are on the darker levels, and you're going to run into them. So a lot of times people will ask me, they're like, well, how do you know you're, this is, you know, probably more Hollywood than anything else, but how do you know you're talking to something good? What if it's just disguising itself and it's really going to come out and be something bad later? And it's like, all right, first of all,
let's back up the bus.
yeah, exactly. Beep, beep. My intention at every turn with whatever that I do is always the highest intention. I do not go into it seeking anything bad. I don't go into it if I'm in a bad state of mind. If I feel like I'm sad or depressed that day, I don't work with spirit. If I go out for cocktails, I do not work with spirit. Drug use, I don't do any of that. Doesn't really matter, but those are the things that invite in lower level entities. But the key word here is inviting in. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If you're always projecting out the highest intention and the highest vibration, those entities don't want to come to your party because you don't have what they want. They're going to feed on things like fear and the depression and things like that. Those are the things that attract them because they're lower level. So I've never really had that problem. That's not to say it's never going to happen to me because, you know, I could walk out of my house and get hit by a car today. I can't say that's never going to happen to me either. There is a possibility in the realm of possibilities, but I know that as long as I'm mindful about what I'm doing and I come from a pure place, I really don't think I have to have a problem with that. I have a mentor that I'm actually planning on having the show be more guest appearances. I was going to have my mentor on so she could talk a little bit about that topic too, because I asked her and she said, Nicole, the only place I've ever seen stuff like that in the 20 years I've been doing this work has been on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened. And the whole thing with protection, are you familiar with Eric Pearl and the Reconnected Healing by any chance?
No, I'm not. I mean, I've heard of it. I've heard of him, but I don't know much about the work.
There's some really good things that he has to say that have really pissed off a lot of other energy people, but I appreciate and can just take in stride. One of them is he talks about being a healer as, like, there's no place for your ego in reconnective healing. And people interpret the ego as being this terrible thing, but it isn't. It's just something that you have. And through working with reconnective healing and just by the very nature that I have, I see now how it's, you can actually take your ego and just set it aside to do something. The same way that if you're on the computer but somebody calls you, you just turn to the phone and put the computer aside and give your attention to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this lesson of tuning in to one thing or another that, I don't know, somehow just came through right and true and clear when I did work with him. And I went to the last class that he taught. I was like, nope, I'm going to Eric Pearl. I am not going to any of these other people. I just felt real strongly I needed to get it from him. But, you know, the darkness and light thing has always come up. It's always going to come up. And I think until people stop being afraid, it's not going to really, it's not going to go away. One of the things that he said is that when he started doing the reconnective healing, which is like its own brand of energy work, he went to the spiritual community and asked different energy healers, how do I do this? And a lot of them asked, they told him, you need to call in, you know, this entity and that one, all protection here and this, that, and the other. And he noticed that the quality of his healing started to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And his theory, and this is just, like I said, this pisses a lot of people off, but it's his theory. His theory is the minute that you ask for protection, you're putting out a fear signal that there's something for you to be afraid of. And
right. You know, that makes so much sense to me, Nicole, because I'm not somebody that, you know, I mean, I don't work with crystals or smudging or any of that. And, you know, I think that's wonderful if that's, you know, if that's what you need and that does it for you. But for me, it's really just working with spirit in I don't call in protection. When I first started doing this work, this is the best way that I can put it. When I first started doing this work, I set a general intention of whatever I do, I'm always protected.
There you go. That's all you need. You don't need to call
in. And exactly, that I not have to set that intention before every person that I do. I did come to realize that when I'm done with a session, that I do need to take a little bit of cleansing time for myself, not in to clean out their negative vibes from mine, in that I have to restore my energy to the, and it's it, maybe you understand what I'm saying. It's it doesn't deplete my energy, but my physical body can be left tired.
Right,
and
exactly.
So,
I know what you're saying.
So here's what happens. If I don't take care of myself physically after I've done energy sessions, is I become tired. And then guess what? I become cranky. And then guess what? Then then that's when people, I believe, perceive that as, I still have their negative energy around me. Well, no, you don't.
Right.
Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, both mentally and physically, and that's a big thing too. Know what works for your body, not what everybody else is eating and drinking and, you know, omen for 24 hours. You do what's good for your body, and your body will talk to you. It'll tell you what you need. So that's been really interesting for me to figure that whole process out. But once I did, it's so much easier to take care of myself afterwards.
Yep, I hear you. I try to help people with the same thing when I'm doing readings because they want everything to be kind of turnkey and cookie cutter, and it just doesn't work that way. You really do have to do your own internal work, and your body does talk to you. I say it on my show all the time. If you have a pain, don't medicate it. Figure out what it might be coming from. You know, if you have a pain in your hip, it could be coming from your knee. It could be, and if you have a pain in your knee, it could be coming from your foot. Like, maybe that's because I worked as a massage therapist for a while, and I started to make all these connections in my head, like, oh, my God, everyone that has a left shoulder pain also has a very tight right hip. And I started to, like, work with the body as a whole. But you have to listen to these. You almost have to just establish your own body awareness in order to figure out what's going on with you. You can't just do the whole, I bought the book that says this is the right type for me. What was that one? Eat Right for Your Type.
Eat Right for Your Blood Type, yeah.
Yeah, that one doesn't work for me either. But, you know, they're all theories anyway. It's trial and error. But if you do tune into yourself, you get a much clearer picture of what you need. Now, having said all that, if you call in, I love Archangel Michael. I love the energy of that being, and I do call in Archangel Michael if I feel like I need help. But guess what? I call in a lot of people for help. If my car breaks down, I call AAA. If I think I'm in trouble, I call Archangel Michael, okay?
There you go. That's right.
We're not all here to be, you know, if we were all only supposed to do everything ourselves, we wouldn't all be here together, period. Supposed to interact with everyone else.
That's right. And that's a big thing. I really think that's a huge statement that you just made, Nicole, because I know that, you know, I've always been, or I always was, I should say, a person that, I can just do it myself. Whatever it is, I can just do it myself. I can just do it myself, you know, and pretty good at, you know, not asking, and I'm just talking about like asking friends in general for some help. You know, oh no, that's okay.
Yep.
I can get it myself. Nope, I can do it. You know, nope, I don't need to call somebody else to help me lift this 800-pound boulder. Watch me do it and hurt myself.
I know exactly what you're saying because I do the same thing.
I've learned though that when I allow other people to help me. Because I love helping other people, but I just thought I could do it myself, so I didn't need to call on somebody else. But I found out that when, you know, I allow other people to help me, I know that it feels good to them. So because I know it feels good to me when I've helped somebody else.
Right, and why deprive somebody else of the opportunity to give? Because you're actually being selfish by not allowing them to give. It really is when that's... Dawn breaks over your marble head and you realize that, it's like a totally different ball game.
Yeah, you start, when somebody offers to do something, you start to say, okay, thank you. You know, it would be like when, you know, a few people would go out to lunch together, you know, and then one person would say, oh, I'll get that. And it's like, no, that's okay. I can take care of my own, you know. And while you could, but then you got to the point where somebody would say, no, let me buy lunch. And oh, okay. Go ahead. Thank you. And then it got to the point where then it's the next step where they're like, oh, I got lunch, and you say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even go to the place of, oh, no, that's okay, I can do it. And they go, no, please, I insist. You just say, thank you.
There you go. I had a lesson in that myself. It wasn't quite as nice as that. It was it's an old friend of mine. He said that to me one time. He tried to pay me a compliment, God forbid, right? And I said, no, you know, my butt's too big here or whatever. And he said, listen to me, young lady. He said, the next time somebody pays you a compliment, you don't say anything but thank you. And I was like, okay.
Oh, how funny. How funny are we, right? But boy, if somebody said something negative about us, we'd believe them right away.
Well, of course, because it's always the way to, you always believe that because it's easier for you to believe. We just have that tendency.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. And like, I had this conversation with my mom and my aunt yesterday. Is my family is kind of a hard, not emotionally open family. We're a little bit hard on ourselves. We're hard on each other. We're not a credit-giving family.
Right.
It's like, for everyone, and I've had the same conversation with multiple family members. Well, I do this for so-and-so all the time, but they never seem to be grateful. They never seem to say thank you. And I'm like, hold up, because I just had this conversation with three other people today. It's not you. There are people that don't know how to say thank you, and that's just the way it is. They're so proud that to receive help is a shameful thing, and it's not. It's like it opens you up to everything. That's just, you know, some of it's cultural. You know, we're Italian. We're a little bit hard-headed. But, some of it is just evolving a little bit with every generation and realizing there's nothing wrong with taking help from somebody.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know? Well, I'm so glad that you called in today.
Yeah, me too. It's been a great conversation.
It has. It's like really brought up a lot of good topics. There's a lot of people buzzing about it in the chat room.
Well, very good. See, now you can now you'll have lots of stuff to talk about for the next, I don't know, 20 weeks, because you could, we jumped all over with different subjects.
Well,
you can expand all over on them now.
Well, I think we should do a couple together. Maybe we can make some plans and do that. I've been thinking about it, and I feel like it's time for me to start bringing some people on, and the solo act is starting to not be as interesting to me anymore. So, maybe we can do a couple of shows together. We can bring up some hot topics and take some callers, or, you know, if you're interested.
That would be great. Yes. I'm probably not till after mid-July or August. Maybe August would be better. My daughter from the one that was stationed in Germany, they're going to be coming here, and then I'm going to be going up north. And yeah, so I'm going to have me a fun little summer floating all over the place.
Aw.
But yes, I would love that. That would be great.
Cool, very cool. I got dogs barking outside now.
Dogs and fire engines. Well, dogs go with fire engines. That's why.
They do.
So it should be a Dalmatian. You should check.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's not.
Okay, well, then I'm gonna jump off this line, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye.
All right. Wow. Well, that was a great show. You know, I've kind of been getting inspired to have people on, and I don't think it was an accident that Susie just happened to pop into the chat room this morning. That was great. So let's do this. If you've listened to today's show and there's anything specific that we've talked about that has piqued your interest and you'd like to know more about, send me an email. To the Block Talk Radio website. If you go to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, there should be a button there for you to just send me an email. Other people have done it, so I know it's possible. And let's try to get some topics out there. And what I'll do is I will go and I'll try to start pulling in some different experts in their field and see if we can maybe get some good discussions going, some good information out there. Yeah, I mean, the show's been evolving since the very beginning, so I'm really proud of how far that I've come with it. I'm proud of all the people that have been following me and who've been evolving and developing their talents and their ideas shifting, their consciousness shifting. There's just so much going on. And I always welcome change because guess what? If I don't, it's going to happen anyway. And kicking and screaming is not a fun way to go through change. It is not. So I will leave you with that. And please go listen to Susie's show. The link is posted in the chat room. It's Spirit Flow. She is on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be back next week. I think I'm going to have a guest. It's going to be a surprise, so I'm not going to tell you who it is. But it will be great, and I think you're all going to love it. So, as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste, and have a wonderful week, everyone. Thanks for being here.